Wisconsin Basketball Analysis. With over 70 years combined experience, this is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman Podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
This episode of the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangling Along for the Ride Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA Finals. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet and up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Okay, guys, let's start at the beginning. The Celtics made a tremendous rally and then fell short big time. Big time, Bob. Just your thoughts and the utter shock of what we witnessed with the Celtics losing Game 7.
Full disclosure, I thought they were going to win. And I felt confident.
You and everybody else.
I felt confident from at least Game 2. I remember before at 0-3, I said I'd give them a 10%, maybe 15% chance. After they won a game, either I forget whether it was after Game 1 or the first one or second one, I said it's 50-50. And then by the time they won the third game, even though they, you know, it was a miracle finish, but they did win. They had dominated the game. They had where they were up by 10 with 4 minutes to go. I thought they were going to win. I thought they would. For once, guys, I put some faith in them. For once, and as usual, as we've been talking about incessantly here all winter, all early spring, they were unreliable. I put my faith in them one more time. I put my hand on that stove one more time, and I got burned. We all got burned. Never dreamed. I mean, I figured also, thinking rationally, that after shooting 7 for 35, whatever the hell, 40, whatever the hell it was in game 3 and 5 on threes, in game 6 on threes, that they would have a good shooting game at home. I figured they would have a good shooting game at home. They would at least have an average shooting game. They wouldn't have a disastrous shooting game, which of course they did. But not only that, I'll get off the soapbox quickly. The defense was reprehensible. The Miami did anything they wanted to do in that game 7. They did anything they wanted to do. And so it should have started with defense. It didn't. And of course, we all know it got off to a bad start. But even saying that, they have enough good players, you would think that they could overcome Jason Tatum's injury, which they did not.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I was there and I was shocked. I mean, I think everybody was, you know, pregame, like, how many points are they going to win by? Not if they're going to win. And not only the fact that they lost, but how they lost.
Yeah, right. It's that.
I keep going back to it of now again, Brogdon was hurt. Tatum was hurt. So you had two of your top players. Robert Williams, I guess, was throwing up.
Didn't know that one.
Yeah. Tweeted that out yesterday. So there were some issues there, but regardless, what I think we really learned, and I think not that I didn't know it, is Jaylen Brown can't be a number one guy. He can't be a number one guy when you can't dribble in traffic. And again, he's not a guy who you can just give the ball to and say, hey, go make a play. Tatum can do that. Jaylen Brown can't. He just can't, because he can't pass either. Can't dribble in traffic and can't find dudes. So like that one dribble pull up, he's awesome. He's great in transition. We know that. But he's got to be honest, he's got to be a Robin. Like, he is not a Batman. I know people try to say Tatum's not a Batman. Tatum's a Batman. He's just not the killer that people want him to be. But he is a Batman. He's a number one guy. He's a guy you could say, hey, give the ball to and go make a play. It's not always pretty, but he can make things happen for other people as well as for himself. Jaylen Brown cannot do that.
Can't argue with that at all. And just in further defense of Tatum, and a guy who can go out and get 51 in a game 7, a guy who can get 46 in a crucial game as he did last year, it's there. He can do it. And you're right. He can flirt with triple doubles on big occasions as well. He's not perfect. That's all. We all know that. He's not perfect. No, nobody is, and he's not. And he has his his 3-point shooting has deteriorated, as I learned by reading Boston Globe on Wednesday morning. The last 3 years, I hadn't taken note of that. You know, a little off-season work necessary there, perhaps. But still, he's still a quality player. They were in. You know what? They were actually in that game until he missed that layup. Now, what was it? Was it 9? Were they down? Was it 9 or 11? early in the fourth when he missed that layup and they went down and scored in that transition and then got it back again and they got seven quick points. I think it went from 9 to 16 immediately. That was the game. I'm sitting there going, now it's over. But if he makes that layup, I know if and many buts and all that. But the truth is, for that flashing instant,
maybe.
I think he's going to score. It's going to get to 7, I think, and it's going to be doable.
Well, Derek White could have got it to 5 if you remember on that travel, right? I think it was like 8, and we thought it was an and one, and instead, it was a travel, and then it got back up to 10 right away or something.
All said and done, what I perpetually say I want, whether I live up to my own standards or not, and evaluating these things as a fan, is justice. Justice being defined as does the team that should have won a game or a series win? And the answer sometimes is it's not the case. The team that should have won the series won the series. The team that should have won the game won the game. I can't argue with that. There's no. I don't care whether Tatum limped around or not. The other team did what they had to do. Caleb Martin out Tatum and out Brown in the big game. Period. He did. You can't take a single thing away from Caleb Martin in his performance in that series. He was outstanding. Should have been co-MVPs, by the way, in the series.
Well, he should have been the MVP.
Well, I mean, I'd say co. Jimmy's still on what wasn't even a conspicuous game by Jimmy Butler. He still had 28 and numbers, and he had two killer threes, you know, big threes. I must go with co-MVP, which you're never going to have, of course, but that would have been my recommendation.
Okay, before we move on to the big picture, back to this game, what I found very frustrating is, and I don't know if Joe Mazzulla believes it, when they said, Joe, you know, did you stick with the three too much? And he says, no. What I found frustrating is the Celtics could have blown them out early.
Yeah, listen.
They were up 9-2. They were up early like 9-2. Then they could have extended it. They couldn't get anything to fall. Miami makes that run. Quite frankly, they never looked back. They got close, like you guys mentioned, in the fourth. But the Celtics still kept hoisting up one-on-one threes.
Why are you ever going to change? That's the way they've been since Brad Stevens got here.
The point, though, Jeff, is, and maybe this comes down to coaching. You can tell me where it falls, but
analytics.
Analytics. It's not working. You know, it's not working. They're not the Golden State Warriors. So if you've got Horford, I mean, it was desperation. Horford's throwing up bad threes. Brown's
That's a great point. Wait, can I stop you there? That's a great point that you made. Like, you're not the Warriors. You don't have great shooters on this team.
No.
You have a bunch of good shooters. That's right. Like, Jaylen Brown's not a very good three-point shooter. He's an average three-point shooter. Jason Tatum is a good to very good, but not elite. He's not Clay. He's not. They don't have anything close to those guys.
Right.
And they're throwing up so many threes.
Why do they go with this strategy? Because to me, what I thought they were going to do, and we've seen it before, fellas, you know, and I'll go back to Doc Rivers against the Lakers in the 2008 NBA Finals. Guys, just get one more. Just get one more. Just get one more. They could have got back in the game if they just went to the basket and tried to get twos. Just get twos. You know, They kept poisoning out threes. Miami goes down and scores. Miami goes down and scores. They keep throwing. To me, that's where the game was lost. Right there. And I'm going to say it was probably the second quarter. That's what the game was lost. Total dependence on the three.
But everybody does. I mean, everybody will not abandon that theory. The Darwinification of basketball is complete. And you mentioned the Warriors. I kept going back in 16 when they got beat and they had the lead and they were desperate to score. And all they needed was 1-2 somewhere to stop the bleeding. And they kept franking threes and were missing those particular occasion. The Warriors were missing. And that's how they lost to Cleveland. And that game, I'll never forget that. And I'll never get off the soapbox on that one either. This is the game now. Show me a team that isn't 3-point.
And that's fine, Bob. And I know that you've said that, and you are correct. That is the game. But to me, they're not good enough to play that game. I mean, they're not. I mean, Jeff just pointed out the numbers. And Tatum can get to the hoop whenever he wants.
He can.
He couldn't in game 7. He couldn't in game 7.
No, because of his impairment.
Well, because of his ankle. I'm talking about it here.
Overall.
And overall. You know, I mean, my God, guys. They're just not good enough. And I mean, is Miami an outstanding three-point shooting team?
No, hell no.
And they're in the finals. Okay, now tell me about, like, Denver. You know, out there, are they an outstanding three-point shooting team?
Jimmy Butler.
They're good. With Murray, with Porter, they got a couple elite shooters, in my opinion, in Murray and Porter.
But are they there because of the three?
No.
Right, so this is my point.
Right, they're balanced.
Well, they have a
balance.
This Celtics team should be balanced.
Yes!
That's the beauty of this team.
Yes, yes.
Right. I know. I'm with you.
Denver has a unique player.
Right.
Tremendous.
So that's a whole different matter.
Yeah, I mean, that's a club. You're right. I mean, he's
you're right about going to the basket. The other thing is that the game now has abandoned the idea of going inside the ball for people to score, except on very rare occasions. And you know, Robert Williams isn't that kind of player to start with. So he's your 7 foot center is not that kind of player because he's a modern player and he's not bred to score low post. Their best low post player is Marcus Smart. He'll back down to that. You know, Tatum. When you see Tatum. But he doesn't anchor. He's never have no image of him ever in 5 years of his back to the basket. You know what I mean? It doesn't work that way with him. So, you know, who is he going to do it to? It's you wish you had guys who could do that. So that's the game now, sadly, you know, and it is, there's no more Parrishes. There's no more McHales. You know, there's no more, you know, name them Patrick Ewing. There's no more Bob Lanier. They don't exist anymore. And they don't, if they do exist, they take it out of them. The poor kid at Purdue is 7'4" and he's a low post player. And everybody's saying he's going to go in the second round. That's the world we're living in. Zach Eady, by the way, is the name I'm talking about.
Yeah, flipping Celtics should take him. You know, I mean, you just need buckets. Anyways, I'll get off that soapbox. Okay, Bob, I'll start with you on this. As we segue into what the future is, it looked to me like they quit. At times, it looked like they quit, which the chemistry on this team is not there. I think the Brown, Smart, Tatum experiment is over. I don't know about their coach. Tell me about the chemistry and the makeup of this team, because I think it's severely damaged.
Okay, I'm not on board with that one as much as obviously you and others are as well. And so I'm not looking at it that way. I'm open to, you know, your education here and suggestion. But I think it's going to be a lot of judgment about they're going to have to make this change and that change. Oh, really? Okay. Tell me who you're going to bring in. I want to know. If you ask me, you have two choices. We stand pat and hope that they can learn some things and the coach can learn some things, or you quote, blow it up. I stand pat and go with them again. I don't see how you're going to trade them to get anybody better. Who? Tell me who. I don't know who.
Well, let me throw three names out. Well, I'll have Jeff answer, and then I'll throw some names out. I understand you have to make the salary cap, but I have some names. But, Jeff, you go.
So, first, on what you were saying about them quitting and chemistry. So, I would say I don't think there's, like, some major infighting or anything like that within the group. I just don't think they fit on the court together. And namely, again, I've said this over and over and over, and you guys are tired of hearing it, but I don't think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and not because of Tatum, because Tatum can pass it. We've seen that now. Like, Jason Tatum's game has evolved significantly to where people were killing him 2 years ago because he was hoisting up these terrible threes at the end of the games. And now what is he doing? He's making the right decision 95% of the time, guys. Jaylen Brown can't pass. And he can't dribble into traffic, right? He can't. He dribble in open space, that's fine. But he hasn't gotten significantly better in terms of his passing and handle. I thought he had, but he kind of regressed here, especially in this series. So I don't think it's like chemistry from a, like, they don't like each other standpoint. I would look at moving Jaylen Brown. Again, I've said this for 3 years.
Yeah.
I would look at it. I'm not saying I would do it. I would look at what can I get for Jaylen Brown? Can I get – now, 2 years ago, it was you had to give up Jaylen Brown and picks for Bradley Beal. Now I think it's flipped to whereas you can get Bradley Beal and picks for Jaylen Brown. Yeah.
Let me toss out some names that were these were flying around and Bob
Dame Lillard. Yeah, Dame Lillard's.
This is all sports talk stuff, okay? Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal, Trae Young.
Fuck. Trae Young, zero. Like, okay, you heard the word that was coming out of my mouth there, and I tried to catch myself, but I wouldn't take Trae Young for nothing. Like, I mean, if you threw him in a deal, I don't want Trae Young.
I mean, Bob, we know how – okay, well, he's off the list, but, you know, Stoudemire's – not Stoudemire. Lillard's older. Would you entertain trading a Jaylen Brown to get a limp, to get a Lillard or a shorter term window to go for it?
But trade them for a guy. All right, then who takes that? I don't know. Lillard is 32, is he not?
He is. He's turning 33.
All right.
So I'm 7 years older than Brown.
I'm not so crazy about that.
Aren't you playing for a window here? Don't you have a kind of a window of your in today's NBA? It's not like the old days, right? Today's NBA, you never know what's going to happen in 2 or 3 years. A player can demand a trade. Who knows? So to me, aren't you saying to yourself, if we get Damian Lillard, we have a dude who can make a play off the bounce, who can take all the pressure off Tatum, because now you got two guys that you can give the ball to and say, hey, go make a play. Right now you got one. You legitimately only have one guy right now who can do that. So you give yourself a window where you are now the favorite to win the whole thing. No, for 2 years.
I'm listening. And yeah, by the way, the one thing we have to mention, I think, about the Brown thing, that's a consideration. It wasn't a consideration at the start of the season when we saw, or at any other time, Jeff, that you were talking about the possibility of trading him. It's this max contract thing. The fact that he's eligible for a max contract, and for the reason that he is, it so infuriates me. I'm almost sputtering the idea that there's any linkage between how I would vote for an all-league team and a guy getting a max contract. Sorry.
It's insane. If I'm Jaylen Brown, you know what I'm doing? I'm finding the voters, and I say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you five. If you vote for me, I'm going to give you $5,000. I'm going to give you $25,000 to vote for me, because think of the money he just made. Potentially. Now, again, if I'm the Celtics, I'm not giving him an offer of 5 years, $290 million. I'm not doing it. No way in hell.
During the prime spring season, you need wholesome, convenient meals to energize you for warmer, more active days and keep you on track in reaching your goals. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and tackle everything on your to-do list. Too busy to cook in May? With Factor, skip the trip to the grocery store and skip the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So all you have to do is heat and enjoy. Then get back outside and soak up the warm weather. Looking for calorie conscious options ahead this summer? Try delicious, dietitian approved, calorie smart meals with around or less 550 calories per serving. Factor is really amazing. This may get Factor and enjoy clean eating without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh packed meals delivered right to your door. Ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/scribe50 and use code scribe50 to get 50% off your first box. That's code scribe50 at factormeals.com/scribe50 to get 50% off your first box.
No. No,
I think the great barroom debate with this team right now is the one we just touched on is, and I don't know if there's a right answer. I mean, I tend to go with Jeff because I'm very impatient. And I think that there is a window in the NBA, but an argument can be made that you keep the 25-year-olds together. But that is the great debate for this
team.
But
they don't work great together. Like, haven't we seen this enough to know that is not going to change?
Yeah, no. Maybe I misspoke. They were not great together. What you're trying to do is maybe in the hope because of their youth. I'm done with the experiment. Okay? I don't think they can play together.
I mean, you've surrounded them with two guys in Brogdon and White who do move the ball, who do play team ball. It's not like, again, now – could you have a better point guard for them? Maybe, but like, give me the point guards who are ball movers these days. Like, there aren't as many as we think. There's scoring point guards. Again, I love Marcus Smart like Bob does for all the reasons, the toughness, the defense, the all of it, the passion. Is he the best thing for this group?
No.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
The frustrating thing, and Bob, I'll toss this to you. The frustrating thing about Marcus is he can be. We have seen it. We've seen the halves where he has 10 assists and a turnover, you know? But what where I saw Marcus as a liability during the playoffs is if they had the Celtics need a final shot, they seal everybody else off and they let Marcus shoot it.
Yeah, well, of course, you would.
You know, so do you think Marcus is a liability? Do you want to keep Marcus, or is he on the market?
I don't think he's a liability. I think he's a flawed gem. As you know, he's not a perfect player. He has great strengths, and he's flawed. We know that, and as you guys both know.
I know you love him.
Anyone that's listened to me, you know, fulminate the last 5 years with him. I have long since made peace with his flaws, and I'm willing to. He's not going to get better anymore now. And I think he figured out how to play ultimately last year in the second half of the year when he actually became a legitimate point guard, as you just alluded to. And this is as good as he's going to be, and I can live with this. It's like I always equated him to Jackie Bradley Jr. You know, I was his last fan in Boston, apparently, you know, and for this, I learned to live with the bad as well as the good. Here's what he is to me, and I'm willing to live with it. Is now in the best of all possible worlds, we drive down 220 miles and we kidnap a certain left-handed point guard whose father grew up in Greater Boston. But I guess that's not going to be possible. So that's the guy you're talking about, Jeff. Is the guy in New York that thought they overpaid for is exactly what you're talking about. That would be some addition to the Celtics.
Imagine if you had a guy like Brunson running this team right now.
Brunson himself, you know, he's exactly what you're talking about, but he's not going anywhere. He's in New York. So there you go. I don't know who else there is like that.
So the other one, Lillard, Beal. Again, you mentioned Trae Young only because here's the issue right now is Jaylen Brown's got 1 year left in his deal. So a lot of these teams aren't going to trade for him. You know, even Portland, you're not trading for Jaylen Brown and rolling the dice that he's going to leave.
Would they sign him? Would Portland sign him?
Well, that's the thing. You'd have to know. You'd have to either know that you're gonna get him long term. And I don't think Portland. I just don't see Jaylen Brown. Maybe he would just because he wants to be the number one guy in a place like Portland. But Atlanta, you know, he grew up obviously in the area. It makes sense from that standpoint. The problem is. Again, I don't want Trae Young, number one. So then what are you looking at? DeAndre Hunter, some combination of like DeAndre Hunter, if they still had Kevin Huerter, that was a rumor a couple of years ago, which I really liked and everybody killed me for it, was DeAndre Hunter, Kevin Huerter, and a couple number one picks, unprotected picks. I liked that a couple of years ago because Huerter can shoot the hell out of the ball. Hunter's an elite defender who I think could average, you know, 17 a game. He may not be... But he's honestly, he's probably as good as Jaylen overall as a player because of his defense. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else you do at this point, but I don't pay him 5 years and $290 million.
So we go to the big question. Let's get into coaching. And Bob, do we come back with the same team next year? And what about the coach?
Well, the coach isn't going anywhere. I think we're pretty – that should be – I'll be very shocked if – Brad Stevens, after 1 year and after, you know, he appointed him for a reason. I think he's going to stick with him. Doesn't mean he can't learn things, you know, that they, the first mistake, I mean, and hardly an original thought, although I what I'm about to say, but it's an obvious one we should put on the table. In any of these circumstances, historically, what you do when you have a circumstance like this is you get the guy, the young guy, a Yoda next to him to help him. As Chuck Daly was Exhibit A with Jack McMahon when he got the job in Philly. Of course, we all know Tex Winter was Jackson's guy. And you got to get one. I mean, it's evident. And it just – he didn't do that. And that was a mistake, I think, right away. Joe finally got around and learned the value of the times out. Here's my question, Jeff. I'm glad you brought this up, Garrett. My question is – And maybe it just shows that I don't have modern basketball ignorance is showing. I watched this team play and I kept looking to see, show me you ever run a play? They actually ever run a play? You know, player B sets up for him and player C cuts in, and then there's movement on the other side and there's weak side. No, I don't see it. Now, I grew up in, you know, I was weaned on the 70s Celtics. I went to practice every day. They had numbered plays. I can tell you what the one was. I know what 1A was. I know what 1 New York was. I know what 4 was. When they had a timeout And the lead went from 10 to 2, and they called timeout, and they come out, and they ran a 4 for Nelly, and Nelly nailed a 15-foot jumper. All right? The 6 play was infamous. Everybody in the league knew the 6 play. Then they come out with the 15, which was a triple pick. Do you ever see plays? I don't see plays. Jeff, am I missing something?
Not a lot. I mean, that's kind of the problem with them, right, is you know, you're letting in game 7, Tatum became the point guard. He's bringing the ball up, and there's not a lot of plays run, right? I mean, it feels like it's kind of ISO ball or Tatum waiting and maybe making one pass and Jalen dribbling a little bit and then jacking up a 3 or whatever. Yeah, I mean, there should be more ball movement on this team. And when there is, it's pretty to watch.
It's very good.
Because, again, they've shown the ability to do it. They just get stagnant at times. And I think, again, the other part was their defense was so god-awful in that game, starting with, like, late in the first quarter.
Brogdon said
that.
Brogdon said the reason we were in the finals last year, Jeff, is because of defense. And the reason they're not this year is because they focus on offense.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, I think it was, like, with 4 or 5 minutes left in the first quarter until, I mean, through the second quarter when Miami kind of went in their run. And then you do that, you can't get out and run at all. You're getting nothing in transition, which means, again, when they're in the half court, that's not Jaylen Brown's strength. That's not Marcus Smart's strength. That's not Tatum's strength when he can't move. So it just, again, it became Derek White was the only guy who showed up. Yeah. He was the only one who showed up. He became their go-to guy because, again, like, who else are you going to?
I know. It's crazy. So, okay, so we think that Jeff says, and I'm with Jeff, you got to put feelers out on Brown. You got to see what you can get. I like Marcus when he assumes his role. There were times this year that I didn't like that he was in the game and White should have been in the game.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
You know, that part drives me crazy. And I also think, and let's wrap it up with this, on this season, I also think, Bob, I mean, I've heard things about, you know, the coach letting players making decisions. I mean, don't you think in the second year the coach has to have more of a heavy hand?
Well, I mean, we all.
How's he going to? He's 34 and he wasn't the coach a week before, right, Bob? Like, yeah. How? That's a lot to ask of him. He's never been a coach.
Does the second year make a difference?
Well, we don't know. You know, once again, what's Brad going to think and what's he going to say to him? And it's got to be him. There's nobody else. I mean, it's not going to be Wick or Steve or, you know, it's Brad Stevens. Right. And I don't know. But certainly Joe Mazzulla needs improvement. No question. You know,
of course he does. I mean, he was put in honestly, a no-win situation. The only
did
way
they make the right call. Did they make the right call making him the coach, Jeff?
I mean, again, I would have went with Damon Stoudemire just because, again, he played in the league for 10-plus years. I think he would have commanded more respect from the players. But, again, as I've said, they weren't going with him because he was close with Ime. They weren't going with Damon. So, instead, Mazzulla is thrust from the second row to the head coach. He's never been an NBA player before, number one. He now has a staff that is not his guys. Okay, they're not. They're Ime guys. Number two, a month ago, he loses Damon Stoudemire, his top assistant who goes to Georgia Tech. Like, there was a lot against Joe Mazzulla here right now this year. Yeah, there was a lot. So I think it's unfair to crucify Joe Mazzulla for something that, again, he didn't ask for, he wasn't ready for, he wasn't prepared for. Like, that's on Brad and ownership to me that you gave it to a guy that probably was going to go through some growing pains. And it's hard to go through those growing pains when you're expected to win an NBA title.
Okay, so I'm just thinking this out. I never really thought it through the whole season. Okay, but everything you just said, you're right about Stoudemire, the reason why they probably they couldn't do it. Well, then who on that bench? I can't even name these other assistants. They're all anonymous to me.
Right.
Who else would there have been? I mean, I don't know. So
Aaron Miles is a young kid who played at Kansas. So, I think I don't even know these guys.
So this
I know
comes
a lot.
Back. This comes back to the incredible fallout of Ime Udoka's indiscretion. I'll leave it at that. His indiscretion. Yeah, he's allowed to live his own personal life. He took his chances. He did what he did. But the fallout, the ramifications, you know, it all comes back to that in that sense. I doubt – I'll go so far as to say, Yeah, I'm afraid that I have to say that if he were still coaching the team, they would have won a champion. They would be in the finals right now, and they would, and they'd be the prohibitive favorite. So but he left them in a bind. God, I'll never forget that day. I can tell you the day. It was September 21st, and the house came crashing down. And that's a date that, to borrow a phrase, will live in infamy in Celtic history.
Great take, Bob. Great take on that to wrap it up. Okay, guys, let's look at the finals. Denver's going to win this thing, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I would think. I mean, again, what Miami's done, what Spo has done to get this far is ridiculous, right? Nobody saw them coming out of this thing, especially without Tyler Hero. You know, Victor Oladipo wasn't going to give him a ton, but he's out. Like, they put it together. I mean, they've just put it together with dudes. Again, I remember Caleb Martin well at Nevada. Well, like, I remember him. You know, even before that, him and his brother transferred from NC State to Nevada. You know, I wish I could say I remember Gabe Vincent, but he was the fourth leading scorer as a senior at UC Santa Barbara. I don't remember the kid at all. Like, you go down the line again, Duncan, Max Strus, he was at Lewis University like 7 years ago. I mean, this group, it's amazing that they are at this point and playing against a Denver team that has a lot of dudes, right? Like, remember Denver took a real risk on Michael Porter Jr. They got him at like 13 or 14. He slipped, and he was so injury prone with I think it was hips and back and everything. And they rolled the dice on him, and I love that pick at that spot. I didn't love it high because I felt like Porter was going to be injury prone, which he's been. And then they gave him all that money and a contract, and he's held up this year. And he's held up when it matters most in the playoffs. Murray's been great. Obviously, Jokic makes everybody better. Bruce Brown, we love, not just because he's from Boston, but is an absolute killer, and he does all the things. Denver's just put together very, very well by former GM Tim Connelly and current GM Calvin Booth.
Well, they've done a nice job. And I'll just go back to Miami for a second. You got to give credit to, you know, however much Boston doesn't want to do that, the city of Boston, to Riley, who's been there since 1995. You realize that, since he first went there, and you know, of course, first his coach, and then, by the way, in New York, they still haven't forgiven him for the way he left New York with an email. You know that. You know,
give us your favorite Pat Riley story, Bob, while we have you. I know,
well, my favorite, I know, Pat Riley, thing,
but you got to have a good one.
Well, it's a factoid. It's a truth. It's not a story, but it's this is how far the guy has come. Okay. In 1976, the Boston Celtics, you may recall, played the Phoenix Suns in the finals. And of course, during those finals, the Boston Globe's lead writer, Bob Ryan, rather than spending his time in a hotel, was hosted by Paul Westfall, who had to be the leading scorer on the Phoenix Suns at 552 West Burridge Lane in Phoenix, Arizona. And every day after practice, which was, we would go to his, sit by his pool in the backyard. Alvin Adams lived down the street. Keith Erickson would stop over. And a guy who was the 13th man on the 12-man roster, left off the roster, some guy named Pat Riley, showed up and would take advantage of this nice opportunity to hang out at the pool at Westfall's house, since he had nothing else to do. So that's my Pat Riley story.
You know, and from what I understand, Jeff, there's going to be a flashback in season 2 of the Lakers series with Adrian Brody as Pat Riley. They're looking for a young Bob Ryan to play him next to the pool. There's going to be a flashback.
But seriously, I'll tell you one other thing about him. In 1982, he won his first championship, because he has conceded Westhead after the coup, the Palace coup that rightfully, by the way, Magic did the right thing in leading the Palace coup and getting rid of Westhead at that time. Riley takes over, he wins. Pat Riley sent thank you notes, written thank you notes, a la George Bush Sr., to the selected members of the media, thanking them for the coverage during the playoffs. Really? How's that?
Wow.
Would that I have kept my note?
I just remember the hair in the suit. Gents, always a pleasure. We'll do it again next week. We'll be talking about the NBA Finals. Jeff Goodman, Bob Ryan, thank you so much. FanDuel. Brings you the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangri Along for the Ride podcast. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Again, this episode of the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangway Along for the Ride podcast, brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. See you, gents.